Barry Fellows, Nicola's dad, had a tough guy image which hid the soft-hearted devotion of a family man who lived for his children. An in-your-face Londoner, he moved to Brighton in the 1960s, where his brash ways were not everyone's cup of tea. His rugged good looks and stocky frame were well known around the estate, and he enjoyed his standing as one of the go-to fixers. None of this could prevent his life being ripped apart that day, when he was just 37. He and Susan had been married for 16 years, and they lived with Nicola, her brother Jonathan, and Susan's mother in Newick Road, a run of houses that sits back from the main Lewis Road, but just in view of Wild Park. Susan was meeker than Barry and loved nothing more than being surrounded by her family, of all generations. Both speak fondly of Nicola's steadfast ambition to become a nurse. Hers was often the first face Barry saw when he came round from an epileptic fit. When Susan was in hospital, she remembers Nicola grilling the nurses on all that their job entailed, cheekily trying their hats on for size. Susan hoped that one day Nicola would go to university, but worried about the cost. In my uniform days responding to 999 calls, I was often called to Newick Road. One of the city's most prolific car thieves lived there, and he never served tea and biscuits when we came knocking. Aside from him, the road seemed to have more wanted criminals and domestic incidents than any other in Brighton, but I was never dispatched to the Fellows or Hadaway households. Barry's close friend was Dougie Judd, a much younger man who shared Barry's passion for Citizens Band, or CB radio, the social media of the day. CB radio hams would spend hours at home or in their cars parked in remote locations, willowy aerials swaying from their roofs, chatting inanely to total strangers under pseudonyms or handles that gave no clue as to their real identity. One of Judd's handles was Painkiller, and Fellows went by the name of Basil Brush. Looking back, it is strange to think how we regarded this newfangled communication craze as such a threat to our operations. It was unthinkable that people could now organise themselves without landline telephones and chats in the pub. Life was so much simpler then. Dougie had fallen out with his mother, not uncommon for a 21-year-old living at home, prompting him to beg a room from Barry. When he moved in, a year before the girls went missing, the already cramped three-bedroomed household became even more congested. Nicola was forced to double up with her grandmother, freeing the downstairs room for Dougie. His and Barry's close friendship would soon come under the spotlight and would vex the police throughout the next 30 years. Karen, like Nicola, was absolutely cherished by her parents. She had a beautiful, beaming smile and fair hair and freckles. She shared a love for life and adventure, providing it was within the rules. By their own admission, her mother and father slightly overprotected her. They drummed into her time and time again the hidden dangers lurking on the streets around them, warning her never to go off with strangers. She flourished and, as far as her parents were aware, never broke their rules.